Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are going to talk about Islam and philosophy. Okay, now, why did Allah chose the Arab in the Arabian Peninsula to spread Islam? To be the founding generation of Islam? Huh? Let me give you a hint. In terms of philosophy and thoughts. Huh?
Was it like why
he put Arabic in the Quran? Is that why? I'm saying why the Arabs were selected to spread Islam and to have the language of the Quran. Okay. You know why? Because the Arab in the Arabian Peninsula, had no civilization, had no philosophy, had no thoughts. Okay? So the Quran is going to be coming to, if Quran came to the Greeks Empire or the Roman Empire, it would be mixed by the philosophy, right? Allah wanted the Quran to be pure. So Allah chose the Arab that have nothing, no civilization, no books, no libraries, no nothing. Okay? They just have desert and very primitive Bedouin life. Style. So Allah chose them because Allah wants Quran to be pure. To be what? Pure. Not be mixed with, you know, other philosophy things. So what happens then when Islam is mixed with philosophy? It's a disaster. During the time of, Al-Khalifa? Al-Ma'mun. Yes, during the time of Khalifa Al-Ma'mun, the Greeks Empire had a lot of philosophy books. So the Greeks emperor consulted with his advisors and he said, what can we do about those Muslims? They are expanding, they are going to come and swallow us. What should we do to cause problems among them so that they can get busy together fighting each other and not expand? So they suggested is to translate these books of philosophy into Arabic and send them as a gift. Okay? Send them as a gift. So now these books of philosophy came to the Muslims, and then here we, you know how they were looking, the people of the entertainment industry at that time, they were looking for, or the jesters, they were looking for ways to amuse these the rich and the elites. So what they would do, they would use these books of philosophy, okay, to amuse them, okay? And slowly but surely, they started learning, having a good, very well learning about the books of philosophy and the philosophy inside it. And then they started mixing it with Islam. So now, you can see why the wisdom, why Allah sent it to the Arab who had no philosophy. To make it pure. Because when philosophy was mixed with Islam, it caused a lot of problems. Like for example, philosophy would tell you, you say that God can do anything, right? Right or wrong? Right. Can he create a rock that he can't carry?
No, he can't carry anything.
So, then he can't carry it? Then he can't carry it. So here is, he can carry anything. Then he can't create the rock. So here is one way. Remember, look at this. Can he create a rock that he can't carry? If you say yes, he can, then here is one thing he can to do, which is carry the rock. If you say no, then there is another thing that he can to do, which is creating the rock. You understand? So either way, you go right or left, you're wrong. You understand? How do you do this without philosophy? You know how philosophy now comes in? Now, how would you answer this, by the way? Yes?
How long would it create a rock?
It's not appropriate for His Majesty. And also Allah doesn't do everything. Allah, do you know that Allah follows the rules? Yes, but who puts the rules that Allah follows? Allah Himself. He puts the rule and He promises us that He are going to, you know, go by these rules. So He promises us, for example, that He's not going to be unjust or unfair. Okay? So these are promises He gives to us. Would Allah lie? Allah can do anything, but He will not. Why not? Because it's not appropriate for His majesty. You got it? So that's the right answer. But there are other things that are hard. Philosophy. They say, is the talk a thought or the thought is a talk? Things like that, you know. Is the thought the talk or a talk of the thought? When does the thought cause the talk or when the talk causes the thought? You know? Philosophy is like that. And the elites were interested into, you know, getting, they make it as a laughing thing and this exciting thing. So they took these books of philosophy and they started using it. Now, slowly but surely, started using it to explain the names of Allah. And it was the modern theology. What is the modern theology? What is the modern theology? The modern theology is to explain the names of Allah using philosophy. So this is an innovation. You know what innovation is? Bid'ah. You know what bid'ah is? No. You know what bid'ah is? Bid'ah is to invent something. For example, where do we put our hands during prayer? Like this, right? During prayer, we put our hands like this. This is the sunnah. This is the traditional way. Bid'ah is to put your hands like this.
What?
See? That's bid'ah. Because it's not, you made it up. Bid'ah is to fast April instead of Ramadan. That bid'ah or not? Bid'ah. Okay? Bid'ah is to try to explain the names of Allah using modern philosophy. Was this bid'ah or not? Did the Prophet do that? Okay. Now, they started making a lot of bid'ahs. Okay? A lot of innovations. That's the gestures. They started making a lot of innovations. For example, they said, the Quran, it is the creation of Allah. And don't get stuck on that. Don't say that I'm trying to explain to you the times when the Quran was, when there was a dispute whether the Quran was the creation of Allah or the speech of Allah. Okay? It's not about that. It's about bid'ah and sunnah. It's about bid'ah and sunnah. It's about innovation. Okay? So, they said Quran is created. Okay? They said Quran is created. It's not the speech of Allah, it is created. By definition, how do you define Quran? Definition. It is?
The word from Allah.
The speech of Allah given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Angel Jibreel. So, the recitation is the Quran. So, Quran, there is a book and there's Quran. Quran is the recitation. The book is the book that has the Quran in it that helps you do the recitation. You understand? So what is Quran? Quran is the speech of Allah, right? Now, that's what everybody knew, that the Quran, very simple. The Quran is the speech of Allah. If you want to hear Allah speaking to you, what do? You read Quran. Very simple. So those jesters with the philosophy, they say, no. Quran is the creation of Allah. Not because if Quran is the speech of Allah, then okay, it will be everlasting. And it will be and it will have some of the names of Allah assigned to it. Like Allah says that the Quran is Hakim and Allah is Hakim. The Quran is Kareem and Allah is Kareem. The Quran is Majid and Allah is Majid. Okay, so the Quran And Allah al-Majid is al-Majid. So the Quran has some of the names of Allah describing it. So now this guy comes and says, no, no, no. Quran is creation of Allah. Now who embraced this idea? The Khalifa himself. He loved it. He liked it. And he said, that's very good. Now they, the jesters, started, and advisors, starting suggesting that he spreads this kind of knowledge, which is the Quran is the creation of Allah. So he started persecuting. He started persecuting anybody who doesn't say that the Quran is created by Allah. Another bid'ah, another innovation that they came up with. So the first innovation is using philosophy to explain the names of Allah. The second bid'ah, that was saying that the Quran is created. Okay? My point here is not whether the Quran is created with the word of or the speech of Allah. My point here is bid'ah and sunnah. So they will question, they will test imams. What do you say about Quran? Created or speech of Allah? Say speech of Allah. They take him to prison and they torture them. They whip them so bad. And they won't let them out until they say, yes, Quran is the creation of Allah. Okay? Then they test, like, until they reach to the Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who was on the top of the Islamic authority. If you know, like, people of knowledge, there are people, one person who has more knowledge, and then the others. You see that, like, the one person, which is the Imam Ahmad, and there were people under him. If Imam Ahmad would admit that the Quran is the creation of Allah, then everybody will accept that, because Imam Ahmad has a lot of reputation, known to be number one on the authority. So they torture him beyond imagination. Just wait for him just to say it is the creation of Allah, and he refused. He went to jail. He was beaten up beyond comprehension. And he did not. He stood up very fast, very firm, and he said no. Because if he said yes, that's it. A lot of people will go astray because a lot of people follow him. A lot of people respect him. A lot of people look up to him. If he said yes, then that's it. But he said no. He insisted on saying no, no. Now, how did they also use philosophy to explain the attributes of Allah? When Allah says, my hand is above their head. Allah is saying about the believers that my hand is above my hand. Like believers are holding each other's hand. Okay? And Allah is saying my hand is on the top of all these hands. So Allah says I have a hand, right? Right? So those guys come and say, no, Allah can't have a hand. So okay, why not? He said that he has a hand. Okay? They say, no, he can't have a hand. See here the point? The point is not Allah has a hand or not. The point is not the Quran is created or not. The point is that once philosophy comes in and intermingle and get mixed with the Quran, the teaching of Islam gets screwed up because of this. So they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have an eye. He told Prophet Musa that you were, I was taking care of you, okay, with my eye. So they say Allah doesn't have eyes. Allah doesn't see. Allah doesn't talk because he doesn't have a mouth or a tongue. He can't see because he doesn't have eyes. He can't hear because he has ears. Then you tell them that if Allah can't talk, can't hear, can't see, then how is he getting things done? Or how does he know things? They say he knows them without having, he knows them. He doesn't need hands, he doesn't need eyes, he doesn't need ears. You know what I'm saying? So, okay. Now, what is the position of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal on this? Position is that asking the question itself is a bid'ah. Why? Because when Allah says hand, yes. So he says he has hand. But how does it look like? What? Do we know? We don't. When Allah says I have eyes, yes, he has eyes. But how does it look like? Do we know? We don't. When we say Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, the Rahman, Allah, established himself on the throne. Okay. How? Or he rose over the throne, or he sat over the throne. How? Do we know how? No. You understand here? No, we don't know how. You got it? You got the point? So the position of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, which is the Sunnah, was the following. He debated with the bad guys, the guys who were saying this. He would ask them. So let's say, what's your name?
Hannah.
Let's say Hannah is saying that God doesn't have a hand, or God, his head means power, does not mean hand, and all of this crap. So I am Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Hannah. I'm debating with Hannah. So I'm saying to Hannah, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam talk about this issue? Did he talk about the issue Allah has hand, Allah doesn't have hand, Quran is created, Quran is the speech? Did he talk about these issues?
No.
So why are we talking about them? Or did he, if he had these issues in mind but he didn't talk about it, then he is a bad prophet or cheating because he's not telling us everything. You got it? So there are two ways. If he talked about these things, he didn't talk about these things, so we don't need to talk about them as well. And if he knew these things, okay, but didn't talk about them, then he hid part of Islam. Then he hid part of Islam. Do you understand the logic here? Who can repeat the same logic? Can you? About these innovations, Quran is created and all of this crap.
So if the Prophet, if he did know, but he didn't say anything, then he was a bad prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he didn't say anything, then he shouldn't talk about it either.
Yeah, if he said something, exactly. He gave us the whole Islam, right? And he didn't talk about these things. Why do we need to talk about them? Mm-hmm. But you see here, you start appreciating why Allah sent the Quran to people who live in the desert, don't have philosophy. Because it would have been a disaster. Mixing. Why didn't Allah choose to send the Quran to the Greeks? To the Greeks. Why? Because there is a lot of philosophy there. Quran will be mixed with philosophy. Right? Even the Christians, the Arabs were not Christians. So Quran didn't mix up with the Bible. Quran was separate language, separate book, and did not get mixed with the teachings of the Bible or the teachings of the Torah or philosophy. He didn't get touched by, he didn't get any contamination. So think of it. So why did Allah suffer? Why did Allah send the Quran and Islam to the Arab?
Because they didn't have a philosophy.
And it will not be confused with their philosophy. So this is called purity of sources. What is opposite of purity of sources?
Contaminated
sources. So if Allah would send the Quran to the Romans, to the Greeks, then the Quran is going to be contaminated, get its infection from philosophy. You got it? So those, the Prophet ﷺ, there are differences that are, let's now talk about differences of opinion. And make sure we understand that differences of opinion doesn't mean that it's bid'ah. You understand? Let me ask you a question. Do you know in the time of Prophet Muhammad, Muslims used to bring gravel, stones, small stones? Do you know that? Do you know that they used to pray with their shoes on? You know that? So, the fact that we are praying on carpet and taking our shoes off, is that a bid'ah or okay, or sunnah?
It's okay.
It's okay. Why it's okay?
It's relatable to our time period.
Yes, it's exactly. And it's not going to change Islam,
yeah.
Right? It's not going to change Islam.
You're just changing your surroundings. You're not changing the way you're praying.
Exactly. That's true. Okay. Now, there was a joke about a, not really a joke, it happened, that there was this closed-minded guy, and he went after the prayer, and he gave a long speech about how the prophet and the companions used to pray with their shoes on. And he was telling people, we should do like the prophet did, because it's bid'ah. You know what happened to him? After he finished the talk, people started yelling at him and saying, you want us to go with the dirty clothes on the praying carpet? Get out of here. And they started throwing shoes at him. Get out of here. You see the point here? So how about going to the masjid with the camel or with the car? But they went to the masjid by car or walking? So by going with the car, I'm sorry, walking. Or riding a horse or something. So if you use the car, is that a bid'ah? No, it's not a bid'ah. You see to understand now what's the bid'ah or not? Yes.
Like you can even say that like you can't listen to hadith because back in the day you would have to go to the hadith.
Yes, go to the prophet. Yes, stupid things like that. They mix the things that the fixed part of Islam, okay, with the variable part, the part that updates. Does it change? Think about it. Does it change the religion to go by a horse or to go by a camel? Does it change the religion? No, it does not change the religion. So here we go. This if someone will ask you and say, Allah said in the Quran, He has a hand. Okay? He has a hand. Do you believe that Allah has a hand? At that time, the philosopher, if you tell them Allah has a hand, then you are a non-believer. You committed an act of shirk. You know shirk? As, you know, bad image of Allah. They yell at you and say, no, He doesn't have a hand. You mean He has a hand? Okay. Did the Prophet Muhammad talk about this? Was it there and he was hiding it? No. So just imagine when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say to Allah, and Allah says to you, who told you I have a hand? You say, Ya Allah, I read this in your Quran. So I saw in your Quran saying I have a hand. That you have a hand. So now you're okay, right? Okay, right? You didn't do it, you know? It's not against you or anything. Now, let's say you are from the other people, other group, who says, no, Allah doesn't have a hand. Hand means power. Doesn't mean that He has a hand. So, and you meet Allah, and Allah tells you, who told you that my hands, that I don't have a hand, and my hand means power? Who told you that? Would you have an answer? No. So which one is going to be right in the Day of Judgment?
No. He has a hand.
He has a hand. However, is it like our hand? No.
Probably not.
Of course not. Do you know the hadith that Allah has two hands, both of them right hands? He doesn't have a left hand. Now we started imagining, huh? Started imagining how could you have two right hands without a left hand. Do you understand that? See, how does he have hands? That's him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was also another issue. I'm bringing all these issues up, okay, so that you get the point. Every bid'ah is going to divide us. How? Let me draw this. So this is the first bid'ah. It will divide us into two groups. One says yes, one says no. Got it? Then there's another bid'ah. Bid'ah. Two. Then it will divide us. One says yes, one says no. And here's the third bid'ah. It will divide people. One say yes and one say no. Do you see what happens? Every time there is an innovation, it divides the people. Every time that there is an innovation, it divides the people. So we all start with one Islam. The first bid'ah will divide us too. Second bid'ah will divide us. Third bid'ah will divide us. And keep going. This is why and the speech of all the people before us, they will always, like in the Jum'ah speech, says that any innovation is bid'ah, and every bid'ah is in hellfire. Each bid'ah is in hellfire. Another example. Oh, these are all just examples to open your mind. It's not intended that you need to think about this. It's intended to open your mind. When Allah says that, because it happened during the history, when philosophy came in, it happened. When Allah says that I have Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa, that Ar-Rahman rose over the throne or established himself on the throne. One guy came to Adam. This ayah was repeated, I think, was seven times. This statement was repeated seven times in the Quran. So there was this guy who came to Imam Malik. He told him, what does it mean that Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa? So Imam Malik said, istwa is ma'loom. We know what is it to rise over the throne. Al-imanu bihi wajib. We have to believe in it because it's mentioned in the Quran. As-su'alu anhu bid'ah means asking how is a bid'ah. So you can't ask how, because who knows how? Do you know how Allah rose over the throne? Do we know how? No. Do we take it as is? Yes. Can we imagine a picture of Allah rising over the throne?
No.
You can't imagine this picture at all. So if you can't imagine this picture, then you can't ask about it. So he said, this asking about this is bid'ah. Why bid'ah? Because neither the companions of the Prophet nor the Prophet talked about it. Talked about it. Now the Sufis have a lot of innovations. And I don't talk about the Sufis, I talk about the goofy Sufi. You know, goofy Sufi is different than Sufi. Sufi is a good thing, but goofy Sufi is a bad thing. Why goofy Sufi? They make a lot of bid'ahs, a lot of inventions. Like, for example, if they want to make dhikr, Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay, wahidu, Allah hay, Allah hay, with the drum. Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay. You've never seen those? You never get to see those? Oh my God. I was once talking to one of them, okay? And he said, and I told him, he said, what's wrong with that? We're making dhikr. I said, this is bid'ah. He said, why is it bid'ah? I said, because, just imagine with me, the Prophet ﷺ is standing. To his right is Umar, Abu Bakr to his left is Umar. And then the Prophet saying, Allah hay, Allah hay, Allah hay. And then Umar, Abu Bakr said, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And then Umar said, Wahidu, Wahidu, La ilaha, Wahidu. Does that make any sense to you? No. Did the Prophet do that? No. He didn't. Then this is bid'ah. And...
Huh? Don't they also like spin around?
Oh yeah. And they say istighfar. One, for example, says I'll make istighfar 10,000 times. Once you make istighfar 10,000 times, once you pass 100, you pretty much lost the taste of it. Balagh, 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 balagh. La 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 la. Oh, you need space. So, okay. So just imagine. Now, the thing that really irritates me the most are these secret formulas. Really irritates me. They tell you, okay, you want something to happen. You want Allah to accept a prayer for you? You want Allah to accept a prayer for you? You say yes. Then they tell you, okay, make tasbih 500 times.
What?
Then follow them by reading chapter number 4 in the Quran. Then follow them by praying 18 rak'ah. Then make the dua you're asking Allah for. And then follow this by praying 10 rak'ahs. Okay. Then follow them by making 500 Allahu Akbar. Then whatever you say, you ask it for, you will get. It's a guaranteed formula. You know, as much as you can, I'm going to take pictures so that you can have a space. Let me. Sue Daba. go. Then. Yes. Now, these secret formulas, oh my God, they have a lot of secret formulas. Okay? If you want to achieve this, then you do this. Okay? Then I ask them, did the Prophet Muhammad know about this? They say, yes. Then I ask them, and he didn't tell us? Then he is a bad prophet. Because he's hiding from us these nice secret formulas. Okay? So somebody else would say, no, the Prophet didn't know about them. I said, the Prophet didn't know about it, and you, Mr. X, or whatever, you know about it? You know better than the Prophet? You see here? Either way, he's wrong. If he said the Prophet knew it, but he didn't teach it, that's an insult to the Prophet. But if he said the Prophet didn't know it, then who are you to know something that the Prophet didn't know? Where did you get it from? What's your source? Okay, dream up these things. And they make a lot of money. They say, the sheikh, okay, tells them, you have to submit yourself to me. You have to surrender yourself to me. And you have to let me do what I need to be done. I'm the doctor and you're the patient. You have to completely surrender yourself to me. And whatever I tell you, you do. Then, you know, they ask you, okay, give me $300 charity to this person. Go to that person and pay him $500. Go to that person and bring him a refrigerator. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? They use that to collect, to have power over other individuals, and then use them, take advantage of them. Okay? Because if there is anybody between you and Allah, that body will take advantage of you. The one of the main essential reasons that Allah has a direct relationship with you, because he doesn't want somebody to get in the middle and take advantage of you. I'll give you an example. Our brother Christians, in order to be forgiven, you have to confess. Okay? And in order for you to confess, the priest will say, okay, pay $10,000 to the church. Or pay $500 to the church. Or pay or whatever. Why? He's taking advantage of you. He said, do this, Allah will forgive you. He's getting in the middle between you and Allah. Why? Because to one, take advantage of you. These middle gods, you know the middle gods that we have? The middle gods that the people used to have? Why did they have them? Middle gods. Because they want to get in between the relationship between who and who? Between you and Allah. Why? Why is that? To abuse you, exactly. To take advantage of you. To take advantage of you. So Allah said, no, you pray to me directly. No need for anybody. No need for anybody. And if you want to pay zakah, it's up to you. I encourage you to pay zakah. I encourage you to pay a charity as you wish. But nobody, you don't need to go through somebody else in order to reach to me. Okay? So, what else about this topic of sunnah and bid'ah? What's the opposite of sunnah? Huh? It's bid'ah. And what's the opposite of bid'ah? Sunnah. What's the meaning of sunnah in this context? It is the traditional the traditional way. Now, how about difference of opinion? Oh yeah, before I move out of the Sufis thing, let me tell you something funny about them. Okay, they say they believe in something called al-wali. Al-wali. Who is the wali? Anybody heard about awliya or wali? Uh-huh. Wali, W-A-I. W-A-L-I. Did you hear about this wali thingy? The wali thingy is that a person who's so close from Allah, okay? Very, very close to Allah, that he receives a revelation from Allah, okay? And he knows the hidden. He knows the hidden. So, there was that wali who had student, okay, or a customer or a client, whatever, who is being, the wali is guiding that person. The wali is guiding that person. The wali is guiding this person. Quotes and quotes, guiding this person. So this wali said to the student, go get me a plate of rice. So the student went, before he leaves, he saw the sheikh doing like this. They're like doing like what? Girls doing like this. So he asked him, what are you doing? Why did you do that? He said, yeah, don't worry about it. There was a ship in the ocean that was about to sink and I had to save it. Okay? Now, if you believe into this guy, you say, oh God, may God help you. You're taking care of a lot of things. So now he brought him the rice and he brought him to the sheikh, to the wali, or to the sheikh. So when the sheikh looked at it, you know how is it? Rice has to have a butter, right? In your traditions in Pakistan and India, the good rice has to have a butter in it. You guys are aware of that? Okay. So the wali looked at the plate and he saw no butter. So he slapped the student on his face. He said, why are you slapping me? He said, where is the butter? So now the student started fighting, hitting the sheikh with his shoes. You are a liar, you are a liar, you are a liar. He said, why, what's going on? He said, you save a ship with your shoulder and you don't know that the butter is under the rice. You got the joke?
Oh.
You got this joke? So the guy is claiming so much power that he saves the ship with his shoulder like this, but he doesn't know that the butter is under the rice. And trust me, there's a lot of this crap going on. You wouldn't believe it. There is a lot of this garbage going on. And praying to the dead people and consider them as awliya who died, just praying to them so that they can ask Allah, do you believe it that people nowadays, they go pray to Hussein and say, Ya Hussein, I want children, Ya Hussein, I want rain, Ya Hussein. Just like before Islam. And it's there. You just like go Hussein Masjid in Cairo and you'll see the graveyard of Hussein and the people are going around like this. Okay? These are bad things that are happening there. Are happening. So you need to pay attention to this and don't let anybody take advantage of you by getting in the middle between your relation and Allah's relation. There was once I saw a sheikh. That one was a stunt to me. I saw a sheikh smoking. Wali is smoking. So I said to the guys, one of the guys that was following him, this guy is smoking and he claims to be wali and he claims to be, you know, receiving revelations from Allah and blah, blah. And he's has a special relationship with Allah and he's smoking. Guess what was the answer? He said, those people, Allah doesn't want to make them so perfect because if he makes them so perfect, we will worship them. So Allah puts something wrong with them. Make them do one thing wrong so that we understand that those are human. And we shouldn't worship them. So one of them likes to smoke. Another one likes money. A third one likes alcohol, wine. A fourth one likes girls. You understand? You know, that stupid argument is that the sheikh or the wali can't be perfect. So there has to be something wrong with him. Otherwise, people would worship him instead of Allah. I just want you to make sure if you ever get into a relationship with someone who are from this kind, just to be open-minded and to understand that this is nothing but crap. This is nothing but crap. Now, one last point is that how about the differences? Like, for example, when we pray behind the imam, and the imam says, وَلَضَّالِّينَ, after reading al-Fatiha, do we say Ameen? Some say Ameen, and some don't say Ameen. Do you say, who says Ameen here? Everybody? Okay. Now go ask your parents. They will not see Ameen, say Ameen loudly. Like I was praying with the group, everybody behind me was from Pakistan and India. So when I say Ameen, they didn't answer. They probably said quietly. Why is that? Is this an innovation? No, why not? Because that is illegal.
In a woman's prayer hall, so whenever I'm praying, when it's the some people say it really loudly and some people don't say it and some people are just whispering it. And
exactly. Now, can I call it bid'ah? Like the people who say it loudly call the people who don't say it at all bid'ah? No. Why? Because that's a legal difference. You know what I mean by a legal difference? A difference that's being recognized by the imams. You know how many imams do we have? Four? Imam Malik, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and the Imam Abu Hanifa. And most of people from Pakistan and India follow Imam Abu Hanifa. And he wouldn't say Ameen loudly. So, is it bid'ah? No. Why? Because all four imams, okay, four imams, they agreed that this is a difference and it's a legal difference. So you can say, whether you say Ameen or don't say Ameen, you're fine. There is another story. Actually, when you call the adhan, you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Or you say, okay, that's for the adhan. Now for the iqamah, do you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar? Or just you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, two times instead of four? You say it four. How about others? Four. Okay. Because of the same madhab or school, you're saying four. But for others, like myself, I say two. And she says two. Now, is it bid'ah to say it four? Is it bid'ah to say two? That's a legal difference. This is a legal difference. This is a difference recognized by the four imams. I'll give you another example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the people, Muslims, okay, he wanted Muslims to rush very fast to the castle of Bani Qurayza. The castle of who? Bani Qurayza. The castle of who? Bani Qurayza. So he said to them, whomsoever believes in Allah and His Messenger must not pray Asr unless he or she arrived to Bani Qurayza. You understand? So the Prophet wanted them to hurry. It was Dhuhr time. So he said, don't pray Asr. You pray Asr at Bani Qurayza. Okay? So now Muslims were divided into two groups. One group said, the Prophet said, don't pray Asr until you arrive to Bani Qurayza. So they prayed Dhuhr, skipped Asr, and then prayed Maghrib, Isha, then arrived, then they prayed Asr. You got it? This is because the Prophet said, don't pray us unless you are in Bani Qurayza. Okay? The other group of Muslims say, no, he means to rush. He means to rush. He doesn't mean literally you pray in Bani Qurayza. He means rush. So what they did, they prayed Dhuhr, prayed us, prayed Maghrib, prayed Isha, and then they arrived to Bani Qurayza. Both groups went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, which one was right? The one who took it literally, or the ones who understood that it means hurry up, and they hurried, but they prayed Asr on time. The Prophet said, both of you are right. He said, both of you are right. The one who understood the meaning and they rushed, okay, but they prayed Asr, and the ones who prayed Asr in Bani Qurayza, both are right. You see, why is that? Is it a bid'ah? No, because it's a legal what? It's a legal difference. Another difference related to you girls, covering the face. Okay, covering the face. Is it bid'ah or sunnah? I'm sorry, is it bid'ah or sunnah or must or fawajib? Or is it an optional or mandatory? Let's make it easy. Is it an
optional?
Do you know that in other schools, like the school of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, it's mandatory? Yes? Yes. So that's why you see people covering their face and they believe that this is a requirement. Why? Because they follow one thought, one school of thought. Now, is it right or wrong to cover and not or not cover? Both are rights. The one who covers and the one who doesn't cover, both are rights. That's a legal difference. Legal difference because it was recognized by what? The four imams. Okay? Both are legal differences. Another thing, not now by another way, recitation of Quran. You know, when you read Surah Al-Shams, okay, at the very end, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا is the last ayah, right? There is a reading of Qalun is فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. So there are different ways of reading it. Okay? So don't get stuck in the prayer and think that the imam made a mistake. No. The imam is following a different way of reading. When you say, who says Maliki Yawmi Deen? And who says Maliki Yawmi Deen? Malik? Malik? Maliki Yawmi Deen. Now, the people who follows other recitations, other method, you know, Quran can be recited in how many ways? 10. 7 major and 2 minor, and 3 minor, okay? So one of the differences is that you say, for Qalun, for example, say, and Warsh, they say, Malik Yawm al-Din. What way we're reading Quran, we're learning Quran here in this school? We're reading which reading? Which, what's the name of the reading we're learning? Hafs. Hafs. So you say, I learned Quran on the way of Hafs. Okay? You know when you go to the south of America, south, east coast, they say, hi, my name is Annie, and I'm 24 years old. Did you see them talking like this? That's
yeah,
what they
Southern.
I lived there for like 4 or 5 years, so I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So that's an accent. Hello, my name is Annie and I am 4 years old, or like 20 years old. Or, hi, my name is Annie and I'm 20 years old. These are, yes, Southern accents. So both Quran was revealed using how many accents? 7 accents. 7 accents. Which accent you're learning? Hafs. You're wearing half. Can you mention like 2 more? There's Warsh and there is Qalun and there is Al-Kisa'i and there is blah blah. There's a lot of them, 7 of them. But you're learning which one? So if the imam is reading Malik Yawmi Deen, you don't say Malik. You don't reply and say, correct the imam, say no, Malik Yawmi Deen. No. Malik Yawmi Deen is in Warsh and Qalun. But Malik Yawmi Deen. Another example. In reading of Al-Kasa'i, you don't say اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, you say اهْدِنَا الظُّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. اهْدِنَا الظُّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. الظُّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So this is the narration of Al-Kasa'i. So you pray behind an imam who's reading using Al-Kasa'i. So he says اهْدِنَا الظُّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You know, you go and jump on him and say, what dhurata is? It's sirata. Now you're wrong, because that's a way of reading. So it depends which way you learned. We ordinary people learn only one way. But the people who are, there are people who learn, I know people who can read the Quran in 7 different ways. He knows or she knows the 7 different ways of reading Quran. Got it? Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.